I'm here to tell you about Naptime Radio. It's a show for moms and dads, and these chicks are super cool.
Mac Daddy and Damia.
And they want you to listen.
Yes, we want it. We want it so bad.
I know you do. Heather and Kate offer helpful info for parents with their power naps. Oh, and did I mention? These chicks are sexy as hell, y'all.
Let's ride that train.
All I need is a ticket.
Let's eliminate one article of clothing for one meal. How about that?
Oh, now it's a party. So go to naptimeradio.com or click on the logo available on our site.
Nailed it!
Chase the sun and get crazy, have some fun. And if you're on the run, we're chasing the sun.
Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast, episode number 21. I am here talking via Skype to Mark Owens, who is a fellow podcaster. He has two podcasts, one called Engineering Fatherhood, the other one called Down Syndrome Radio. Mark, I forgot that you're in Virginia. Am I correct?
You bet.
Excellent.
I'm on the other coast, dude.
You're what?
I'm on the other coast.
Ah, I see. Hold on. Now, for some reason, I just got flummoxed or stammied. I don't know. Whoa, that's what it was.
Yeah.
I realized that I need to give an update to the fantastic car accident situation because
I'm waiting for that, man.
I've been starting every show with a lot of vitriol. And for anybody who's a really, really old school listener of the show that remembers back when I first got a fish tank for my oldest son, you'll remember this little soundbite if it plays correctly. We used to do this for fish updates, and now it's going to be to update the situation with the child, or the car accident, I mean. I have some fantastic news. So for those of you just picking up, the last time this guy ran a red light, hit me, totaled my Toyota Corolla, and so I was riding this insurance company trying to get him. He's dragging his fucking feet and being a dickhead, and then to up his dickhead-osity, he decided to say that I ran the red light. And because I didn't get any witness information, that meant it was his word versus my word, which means that he is not liable. And it's just it's a push goes to the dealer. And so I was fucked out of $9,000 of damage to my car and a vehicle just because he decided to be a shitbag piece of shit human being. Well, I didn't like this very much. So what I did was I went to the intersection where it happened 2 weeks after the accident happened and spent about a good two and a half hours out there asking every car that stopped at the light, hey, did you see an accident here 2 weeks ago? Hey, did you see an accident here 2 weeks ago? And just as I was wrapping up, there was two different groups of people that I remember seeing that saw it. They were like standing on the sidewalk. There was a dude on a bike, and then there was a family, like a young girl, an older lady, and a baby that were on the bus stop across the street. So just as I'm like figuring I'm not going to find anybody, I'm screwed. So I decided to take pictures of the view, his view of the light at the same time of day where the sun is literally right behind the traffic signal, which is why he ran the red light, which is no fault of his own. But still, he's the one who broke the law and ruined my car. And then I was going to take a picture of my view of my traffic signal to kind of say, hey, I have a clearer view. He has virtually no view because of the sun. And then I see these people get off a bus, and it is the young lady, the old lady, and the baby with the stroller. I have a picture of them. When I took the picture of the front of his van, you could see across the street this family standing on the corner.
And this is like a CSI episode.
I know. And so these poor people, I scared the living shit out of them, Mark, because I'm across the street, easily six lanes of traffic in a pretty big street in Burbank. And I'm like, hey, wait there. And they're like looking at me going, why is this fucking crazy white guy yelling at us? And so the traffic light wouldn't change fast enough. And so I waited for a pause in the traffic and I just bolted across the street. And I said, hey, you guys don't remember seeing a car accident here a couple of weeks ago, did you? And the young girl was the one who spoke English, and she was like, yeah, actually we did. I go, do you remember what kind of cars were involved? And she goes, yeah, it was like a white van and a little gray car, which was perfect, even though my car's silver, but whatever.
God, this is like a happy ending. This is maybe Lifetime Channel. I know.
This is going great, right? And so then I say, great. I go, hey, and I zoom in on the picture. I said, is that you? She goes, oh, my God, yeah, that's weird. And I said, so here's the thing. I said, do you remember what happened? And she said, yeah, the light had just changed. The white van ran a red light and hit the little gray car. I said, great.
Did you have your recording device ready?
I know. I wish I would have, but I was in a panic and excitement and everything. And so I didn't think clearly as I should have. But I got her information, and then I called the insurance company, and his insurance agent said, wait, you have a picture of them and his car? And I said, yeah, my insurance agent said they gave it to you, all the pictures. He's like, I never got any of your pictures. So I said, great. I sent him all my pictures.
This is their track the argument plan.
Yeah, yeah. So I said, so he goes, so wait, you have a picture of his car with damage and them? And I said, yes. He goes, wow, that's big. He goes, that puts you and them and his vehicle at the accident at the same time in one picture. And
I was still like, statement from the girl though, right?
Yeah. So he's going to interview the girl. He said, you have to give me time to interview the girl, but that could potentially be, you know, a $9,000 conversation for daddy. And
the smartphone. Cause you ain't got to worry about finding her again or getting her to come,
well,
you know,
I know like, cause I got her name, her email address and her phone number. And I gave that to the insurance company, told her somebody would be in touch with her. And
you slipped her $100, right?
No, easily 250. I mean, at least just to make sure it's on the up and up. And that's the other thing, too. I was uber afraid. I didn't want to, like, urge her or push her in any one direction because I didn't want it to seem like, you know, I'm, you know, I didn't even tell her who I was.
This whole thing. You got to fight fire with fire, buddy.
Well, I was, when the guy was lying was I was like, I could just find a friend of mine to say they were at the accident. If you want to play dirty, let's do it. Let's go fucking nuts. But then because I'm a decent human being in my own mind, I felt like I couldn't rightfully sleep at night knowing that that's how it had gone down. Or realistically, I would probably be panicked that I would get caught and then it would double down, like hurt me in some way, shape or form. But
instead you decided to risk your life crossing, you know, traffic against the light.
Yeah, I'm a very
fatherless for $9,000.
I'm a very rational, clear minded person, Mark. That's what you will get to know about me. That's how I roll. So now let's talk about you. Enough about me, Mark.
Well, hang on, Jason. That is a fantastic end of the story. Listening to this whole thing, you know, yeah. you're a very personal person, and you definitely lay it all out on the air.
Yeah.
That's just fantastic news because, you know, I was genuinely worried about you. I mean, not like I was losing sleep at night, but yeah. I was waiting for the next episode to figure out. Well, I knew they were going to be on this one, but, you know, I was waiting for the next episode to figure out what would happen.
Well, the series finale will come out as soon as I get that check because Daddy's already bought a new car and tried to move on. But it's just garbage. Just
dirty blood, you know, because doesn't California, isn't it a hanging offense for perjury?
Yeah, I wish. We wouldn't have assholes like this son of a bitch if we caned people like California.
Caning, that's even better.
How does Virginia, is Virginia like a Tejas? Do they come down hard on the criminals?
Yeah. We have, you know, well, we're still fighting the Civil War down here. I'm not from Virginia originally. And, you know, you can have concealed guns and, you know, we have the death penalty and we're, you know, it's a rough state for that sort of thing. Caning, I'm not sure we have that yet, but we're working on it.
Yeah. I'm sure you'll get legislation through on that. Easy peasy. Now I'm curious, where did you grow up?
Upstate New York.
Okay. So you're a New Yorker, moved down to Virginia for, I'm assuming, work, love.
I live many places. Spent a year and a half in Turkey, lived in Jacksonville, Florida. I've only been in Richmond for about 5 years.
Why so much moving? Are you in the military? Can we even talk about this? Or
I did work on a military base, but as a contractor. No, just an engineering, you know, gigolo, going to where the jobs are.
That's right. You're an engineer. Now, I'm always curious about this, and if the listeners aren't, then I'm sorry. But you hear this word.
Then they can listen to my podcast.
That's right. Go to Engineering Fatherhood. Tune in for them for the next 45 minutes, because I am incredibly interested in. Because to me, engineering sounds like such a broad term, like that involves like airplanes, cars, that could be bridges, that could be architecture, that could be software engineering too, like all of this stuff. So when you're a kid, do you aspire to be an engineer? At what point does that hit you?
Well, if you live in my family, it's inbred because my wife is an engineer as well, and my brother, and it's in the family. You realize that you're good in math and science.
That's and so that kind of leans you in that direction.
You go to school, you look up how much people get paid, and you think, okay, well, 4 years engineer or like 8 years or 10 years doctor, you know, and that's how it starts.
Okay. And
I feel that, you know, you're born, if you're the type of kid who plays with nothing but Legos and you take stuff apart and you're rewiring your parents' house and you shock yourself a few times, that then you might be an engineer.
That might be your course of action. So did you say your father was an engineer or your brother?
Oh, my older brother. The rest of my family is accountants, so I guess that's kind of math. So yeah.
What did your mom do for a living, or did she work?
She kept five of us from killing each other.
Okay, so she was a stay at home mom, and your dad was an accountant.
She worked at the local store for a while. Uh-huh. She worked as a nurse's aide for a while at night. She did people's sewing. You know, it was a do what you can kind of a family. So
yeah,
you know, but it was a great family. You know, I feel like we had great parents. So my older brother and I, and my younger brother are all kind of nerdy. So we decided to start Engineering Fatherhood. So we talk about things it's a lot like this show in a way where, you know, we're laying on the line. We'll talk about when we do things wrong as well as when we do things right.
Yeah.
We're not really giving advice, but it's from a major nerdy bent. You know, we could get an argument over, you know, chemical formulas or something. You really never know.
You never know what could happen on Engineering Fatherhood.
We take our math seriously. Yeah.
We talk about the intestinal fortitude of steel coming up on the next episode.
It's awful listening to your podcast because, you know, the thing with the milk, yeah. I was all over that. You know, when you're listening to the podcast, it's like listening to a movie uh-huh. where the girl's going to get attacked by Jason. And you're like, don't get out of the car. Don't get out of the car.
So you already knew the scientific explanation for the milk being funky?
Yes, I did. My specialty is water and wastewater treatment. So yeah. It was all about the microbes or the enzymes, just like your buddy Juan from, where was he from? Antarctica?
Yeah, something like that. So yeah, he sent me a tweet, which I thought was very hilarious because I couldn't remember. I thought...
And he still didn't answer where he was from, did he?
No, he did. He told me. But here's the thing, and this is what I think people need to understand. If you're going to live someplace, right, especially in a different country, you need to have a region-appropriate name, okay? Because his name is Juan, but he lives in South Africa, okay? So he sent me a tweet that said, South Africa, you know, the one with lions and elephants.
I'm sure chicks dig it too, you know.
Oh, yeah. I got a great hearty. Well, maybe that's why he moved there. I do like the idea that he's originally from like Chile or something like that. And then mm-hmm. he moved to South Africa. He's only into the tips of continents. That's all he's interested in. some kind of just the tip continent thing that he's into. But so yeah, he told me that. What was the other thing I wanted to ask you? Damn it. So you, how many kids do you have?
I have three. I have two boys and a girl. My oldest is a boy, 11. I have a daughter, 9, whom I'm going camping with this weekend, and nice. My youngest son is 4.
Yeah, you talked about you're doing like, is it an Indian summer camp or something like that?
It's Indian princesses.
Yeah.
I'm much looking forward to it. I'm excited.
Now, this is how you know that you live in Virginia, because if it was in California, it would have to be called Native American royalty. And you could not use the word princess because that is not our term. We are a democracy here. And Indian is pretty short. It's like two steps shy of using the N-word in California if you call somebody an Indian.
Isn't Native American the N-word?
Exactly. Yeah. We also have to just say that. White people in California call everyone the N-word. That's, we just say everything. We don't even call the show the L-word. We call that the N-word as well, because we just want to make sure we're safe and we're not offending anybody in any way, shape, or form.
The little girl is going to testify. She's a Latina. Is that right?
Yes, exactly. So you're going to go camping with your daughter and a bunch of other Indian princesses?
Yeah, it's a father dad thing. It's a little bit like scouts, but the beauty is it's only two campouts a year. It's not a bunch of not so many meetings and badges and whatnot. Not that I have anything against scouts, but it's it's easy on the dads. I went to this 3 or 4 years ago with my daughter when she was 6, and the first thing they did was hand her a .22 rifle.
Really?
Well, they have these events, you know, on the
wait.
On the
is Saturday. This Indian princess or is this scouts?
This is Indian princess.
They get Indian princesses. They're arming Indian princesses in Virginia.
Yeah, they are.
That's how you form a militia, my friend. That's how you form a militia.
Where I live is where Pocahontas came from.
Oh. She's an Indian princess. I don't know if you know this, Mark.
Was an Indian princess, as a matter of fact. Yeah. So, you know, they have like riflery and they have archery and canoeing and obstacle course.
And overaged white guys that come and pursue your daughters.
We all watch, right? We stand on the side. And then at night, they all go in the cabin and do like dance routines and talk about who knows what. And the men all stand around the campfire and drink beer. It's fantastic. Really?
So you have time where you're with your kids where you do like these organized activities. And then at night, all the little girls go and hang out and do girly things. And then all the guys go and get drunk together in another tent.
And they come running out when they, you know, when they skin their knee or when they're whatever, they come out when it's time for s'mores. So there is a lot of daddy daughter time, but it's not so intense. You know, some of the girls are older. They take care of the younger ones. Mm-hmm. You know, like last year they did a big dance routine. They spent all night planning out this kind of musical play for us, and then you know around 10 o'clock at night we walked over to the little gazebo and they did a thing for us. Adorable. It's a solo cup weekend. I'm excited, man. I'm ready to go.
I believe it. So it's all weekend. You'll come back Sunday night or
next Sunday morning after church, and I'm doing air quotes, you can't see them, you know.
There's the an church. Indian princess church or your church?
It's an N-word church. Yes.
Aha. Yeah, very good. It's so it's what's the damn it. I'm multi-denominational. That's what I was trying to think of.
We are the Sioux Nation, and we are the Mighty, Mighty Creek Tribe, and the girls get all fired up, but it's a great time.
That's awesome. That's great. And what other activities? So you have riflery, and then there's like a dance thing. Is there any other like craft situation that you guys do?
Yeah, to give you a craft as a team, like they did like the egg drop thing. Like you see, you build something.
You're amazing at that.
Oh God, yeah. I love that. I love that part.
That's your moment where all the jock dads are like, these stupid straws and tape, rah, 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 you know.
I'm like, step aside.
Look at Owens is over there. His could fucking land on the Mars landing. This is bullshit. But,
you know, I was going to turn this back to you because hanging out with these guys is a little bit like when you're a dad and you get stressed or whatever, hanging out with guys is therapy in my mind. You know, and I don't get out a lot as a father. I'm sure you don't get out that much either. You know, so doing the podcast with my two brothers is like my therapy.
Yeah.
We get on, we rant about the poopy diapers and the problems with this and that or whatever. And then if 3 or 4 weeks goes by and I haven't done it, I can actually feel it. I'm telling you.
Yeah. For me, I've realized recently that if I don't get up on stage and maybe do this show, sometimes like I'm kicking around, probably taking a little, to be quite honest, taking a little bit of a break from doing the show. Not because I don't like doing it, not because I don't love it, not because it doesn't make me happy or I want to fucking quit. That's not anything I want to do, but it's just that it's like there's a lot going on in the Worsham household, and so it's pretty hard when your wife is like, my wife is going to the doctor today to be treated for some what I think is a form of exhaustion, to be honest. And so she's an amazing mom and an amazing chick, and so it's like she, as much shit as I give her on this show and in life in general, and that's how I express my love, I guess. But she'll come in the door after working a full day and then just jump right into being a mom, and she loves it. But you know, the little one still isn't completely sleeping all night, and I wake up too. But I don't, you know, here's the thing. I don't want to come across.
Oh, you know, Justin, can you help out? And you're like, oh, I promised to do this podcast.
Yeah.
And then you get that look where they're being supportive, but at the same time, you kind of know, yeah, I'm with you, man. I am.
It's worse than that, where it's like she just lets me do it. But see, here's the thing that what I'm trying to say is that my wife, as tough as she is, and is that it's I don't know what happened to our society where I can't say that I'm tougher than she is. I can't just say it that I can handle less sleep than she can. Like if the chick would just say, listen, I'm fucking dead. OK, I need you to sleep in the kids' room so I could get a full night's sleep. I would be like, fine. Yeah, no problem. Now, is it my fault that the minute the kid makes the slide, like she's got some kind of fucking super hearing? It makes me feel, and I'm tired of feeling guilty for her biological engineered ability to hear a baby squawk. Like it's just fuck, you know. Like it's just not,
this is where it's at. If you don't do this, I guess you have another outlet of going on stage.
Yeah, know? I do. Yeah,
you'll explode. I'm telling you.
But I need to. You're right, and I'm sure that's why I say I'm going to take. Well, it's funny because I'm already supposed to be in the break right now. Like I told myself in the middle of September.
Wait, now she's mad at me.
Yeah, exactly. No, she's not here. This is why this is easy, because I'm on the road. This is when I should be doing this. Is when I'm on the road. And she was like, because she told me, she goes, I go, I think I'm going to take a little break from the podcast, because I do. I feel like a dick that she's like, she just comes home from work and she's dealing with all this stuff. And then I'm like, hey, I need you to take the kids. And then when all this stuff, when I did the Tommy Riles episode, I literally told her, like, I need you to get the fuck out. Like not.
You're real nice, man.
Yeah, I know. I'm a really good guy. No, I didn't mean like get the fuck out of the house either. I just meant, can you just play with the kids upstairs? Because I joked on the episode that we did with Drake, and even Tommy talked about it, where in the middle of the show, my wife just sits down at the same table with us and starts doing milk and cookies, you know? Now, would it be great if I had a studio? Fuck yes. As soon as my my son, youngest son, is old enough, I think I might try and put him into my kid's room, and then we could use it, the third bedroom is like an office / you know, podcasting room, so that I don't disturb any of the flow. I don't hog the room that has the TV in it or any of that bullshit, you know? And it is weird when you don't know the person to bring them into your bedroom, because it's not like my bedroom has a ton of floor space, so we would just be doing the show on two TV trays with my laptop and the computer with my unmade bed behind me. So I just thought that would be weird to have people...
I understand, man. I get it. I just think you need to do it while you're on the road.
Yeah, that's what I think. Well, she told me. She's like, well, do it in December, because in December, I literally am never home. Like, I have work every single... The Christmas is the worst. Like, this is where I feel like that there's some kind of inspiration of that bullshit, you know, Christmas movie that gets made about the... And I really do. I fucking hate these movies. I know I've talked to... I have to have talked about this before. These fucking Nick Cage movies where this guy's busting his ass to build a beautiful fucking home for his kids and his wife, and, you know, so she can have her, you know, Brazilian done every other day, and that she says it's for him or whatever, but she feels sexy. It's for her, too. And then, you know, they've got every goddamn, you know, video game system and everything like that, and he's busting his ass, but he's the dick in the scenario. The hardworking dad who brings home the pig is the fucking asshole, because he works too hard to make a life better for them. And I know what their point is that with all the work, you don't really enjoy it unless you get to connect with your family,
That theme is so overdone, and it makes every dad in America feel guilty, no matter how much he works.
Yeah.
Every work, you know, I feel that, and I don't think I put in that many hours. I do travel some, like you do, but, you know, it's... Yeah, it does. It's overdone.
Well, beyond the guilt, it's just like, even what does it say to the kids? That it's like, oh, so if dad ever has to go off and punch in it for an 8-hour fucking day, he's a dickhead? Like, your 6 or 8-year-old can't understand that storyline and how Hollywood is bullshit. No. You know, like, they don't understand. They probably on some level think Pokemon live somewhere in Costa Rica or something. I don't know. But that's what it always frustrates me, that I'm like, I get their point. I just wish it was a little less like heavy handed with it. That it's like
when your kids get older, you can reason with them. You know, like when my son's like, what do you have to work? You know, why do you have to go there? I'm like, well, I'll tell you what, I won't go if you'll give me that iPod. Thanks. I'll take them back. There you go. Now I'm glad to spend the weekend with you.
Dad, no. It's funny that you mentioned that too, because I had a funny interaction with my son as we're loading into the car to get into our car. Our road trip on the way up here, and he goes, where are we going? And I go, remember, I'm going to take you to the cabin, and then we're going to, and then drop you off with grandpa. He goes, but no, you're going to come. And I go, no, dad has to go to work. He goes, oh, you have to go to work? And I said, yeah. And then there's a pause. He goes, so you could pay for toys for me? And he wasn't saying it like, hey, by the way, big man.
Work late, man.
Yeah. he wasn't saying like, I need some more toys. You need to hit up the closet a little bit more. Like, it's getting kind of light over there, dude. I don't know if you've noticed. He was more saying it like, I've yelled at him or in some way been agitated. It's like, you go, this is why we work, so you can have all these toys, okay? Could you not throw them? Like that
kind of, like, oh, you're like, having a Bill Glass moment. I love it.
Exactly, like that kind of thing. No, I will not calm down. I don't know where the arugula starfighter is, okay? All right, but it should be here. It needs to be on display.
I think what he was doing was reminding you that you needed to spend 100% of the proceeds of that on toys for him.
Yes, I think that was also part of
no food, no rent, all toys.
No, we don't need, well, then that's the other thing is he likes Panda Express. So we're sitting there. I guess it's kind of a moment of the week, but we're sitting there eating lunch, and he we go to get Panda Express, and I go, hey, you might want to try like real Chinese food. So, you know, such a stupid dad. I'm talking to my fucking 4-year-old trying to, you know, really go, listen, you really need to expand your palate. Because I go, this is, I mean, it's good, don't get me wrong, but it's kind of shit in the world of Chinese food. Like, you need to up your game a little. And I go, plus, they don't have Panda Express at the cabin. And this is what my son said to me to completely put me in my place. He goes, yeah, but they have bread and meat and corn. I was like he thought those were the three ingredients to make orange chicken, or if those were just the three basic necessities of life. If you have bread and meat and corn, you could live forever.
Does he really have sarcasm, you know, down that well?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He has it down to where but he doesn't know. Like, it's weird. He does it in like an uber animated in like Jack from Will and Grace, kind of like it's almost borderline flamboyant in the way that he does his little like eye rolls and shit like that. That I was like, and I don't think I do that. I know my wife doesn't do it, because if I did it, then I would probably be an abusive spouse. But I don't. So I don't know. It has to be me, I guess. Maybe I have an overly expressive face, or maybe he thinks that's what I look like when I talk. I have said that to him. I go, is that what I look like when I talk? Because I don't know where you're getting this from.
He just kind of Skype picture. I can see it.
But that's what I mean. Like, I feel like people have even said this, that they know me, like I meet them and we become friends or something personally. And when I'm not performing, I'm kind of a subdued guy. Like, I'm kind of chill out. And I like to laugh and joke around. I think that me on this show is a little bit closer to who I am than me in my stand-up or whatever. But then they come and see me do stand-up, and it's just like it's loud, it's intense, and I'm sweating a lot. And so then they're like, wow, like, I never knew you could do something like that. Not to say that it's amazing, but they're like, it's like watching the shy person get up and then dance to the best Ricky Martin song ever, and just they're just flying across the dance floor, and they just burst into life. And then immediately when the song turns off, like the frog, remember the frog from the cartoons where he would open the box and like, hello my baby, hello, and then anytime somebody else would look at him, he would just go back to being a frog. But you know, it's that kind of vibe is what I get. And that's I don't know where my son gets his sarcasm.
Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde thing going.
Yes, I don't know where my son gets his sarcasm from, but I am not a fan.
I do this. I try to collect data. I'm an engineer on, you know, boys versus girls. And I make assumptions like, oh, all girls must be like this and all boys must be like, but I only have 3 kids. My girl is major sarcasm, major attitude with that. You can picture this where they put their hands on their hips. I don't know if mom teaches them that or what.
Yeah, where does that come from?
I don't know. It's genetics, I think. And it's early. I mean, it's really early.
Yeah, because here's the thing. I don't imagine that your wife is, you know, like what I call is the suburban princess, you know, where it's like she's got the word juicy on her pink, you know, fucking leisure suit pants.
One of the rules in my house, there will be no words on butts.
Yeah, right. She's driving a black Escalade, even though she's never even seen or heard a Tupac deep cut or even a single at best. You know, but she's, you know, 2 steps shy of having spinners on her big old Escalade and
like that. And it predates, you know, because my daughter just started watching those shows like iCarly and the, you know, whatever. And you can learn something from that. But, you know, it was even before she went to school, she was doing that. And I don't know where they get that.
Yeah, it's really hard to figure, because my dad likes to look at me when I say, I don't know why my son behaves this way. And my dad loves to just say this shit of like, well, he picks it up at home. He's learning it from you guys. Like, and I just want to go, no, fuck you, man. I didn't teach him this. But then you kind of, like, because he's still my dad, I kind of, and he's not completely senile. Like, it's hard to lose his credibility still. I don't know. Is your dad still around? I'm sorry if that's weird.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah, he's my hero.
Yeah, exactly. Mine too. Like, even though I'll fight with him and everything, but I love the shit out of the dude. He did. He really did save my life. And so it's hard because you kind of are your own man. You got your own fucking family. And then you got this guy who taught you pretty much everything you know. And I don't know if your dad's like mine in that sense where he'll just lay down some like, well, it's probably because he picked it up from watching you. And you want to be like, no, but I don't know that you're wrong because you've been right before. And I remember being a teenager where I thought you were wrong and I was wrong. Oh, fuck, this sucks. Like,
no, when I take my kid, and I don't get to visit as often as I should. My parents are still up in New York.
Yeah.
You know, I bring a notepad and take notes. No, my dad is fantastic. I'm totally modeled on him.
Really? So, now... Yeah. Now, what kind of like household you to me, again, I said this about Tommy, but this is because I was looking. If you look at a picture of Tommy Riles on the internet, he looks like, you know, he almost looks like a cartoon character of if they did an animated version of Leave It to Beaver. Like, and I hope that doesn't sound like an insult. I don't mean it. Is it like he just
love going on there while you're doing that? Was your hand running through his hair? Because I feel like I could hear that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's theater of the mind. That is real. Is what happened. I put it through his hair. He seemed to ignore it a little bit. When I went inner thigh, he slapped my hand away. I'll be honest. He did not.
He has boundaries. That's fair.
Yeah, fair enough. You know, I don't know. You know, whatever. It's a good thing we didn't do it in the bedroom because we'd be laying on our sides on the bed doing the podcast.
I am short and fat. Not fat, but, you know, I'm short. Uh-huh. And my wife is tall and she's very beautiful. And we kind of pictured that this merger of our personalities, my wife is very type A and I'm a little bit more relaxed, that we would produce children that were in the center and would be perfect. What happened was, you know, we produced, you know, one of exactly me, my son, who's clueless, you know, and moves at like 2 miles an hour, and a little girl who's exactly like her.
Isn't that so weird how that works out? Because I'm going through kind of the same. We don't know personality wise, but you could definitely see it in the looks. Like it almost seems like it is on purpose, but you kind of know that it's just random. But
isn't it kind of cool to know that your kids are, you know, pretty much just like you? You know?
Yeah. Well, and I talked about it when I had that realization. I felt like such an idiot, but it was so liberating at the same time when I was talking to my therapist and he kind of pointed out that, you know, my son doesn't like to do what he's told. And then I kind of have the same situation going on with me a little bit, you know, like having an issue with authority. And it made me feel better because I was trying so hard to make him into something that I thought would be happy, like something external. And that if you realize that you just kind of take it, like I just went through this recently. In fact, I'll save that for a moment a week. But what I was going to say is that if you take it for that, they are just like you, it kind of gives you more insight into what's going on in their brain and how they feel. Am I wrong on that?
Oh, no. So my son's 12, right?
Uh-huh.
My wife doesn't get him. I mean, they love each other and they have a certain special bond. But, I mean, him and I are best friends.
Oh,
I say 12.
That's
He's
great.
11 going on 12.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we like the same things. You know, we like the same types of books. We like the same types of video games. We like the same types of movies. I mean, you know, it's like we're bros of a sort. And he will talk to me about things and I get it. More than my wife does, and it's not really anybody's fault. It's he's just like me.
Yeah, you're not trying to make it into a negative, like she's not connected at all. It's an exaggerated positive for you. It makes it even more cool that you're his father and he's your son. You know what I mean? That's what I think.
Fucking cool, dude. Yeah. Yeah, when they start to get older and you can share stuff like that, it's awesome.
Can I ask what kind of games you play with him?
Well, he's a boy, so he's into video games. You know, he likes StarCraft. We play on Friday nights. I play with my two brothers so that, you know, we don't live in the same city. One lives in Maryland, one lives in New York, and we get online and we're on the audio like this, and, you know, we can play the same game together, and he started to join in on that.
Really?
And he likes Minecraft.
Nice.
Big, yeah. Yeah, he likes some stuff on the Wii and then some of the Pokemon games on his DS, but I don't really share that as much. But
yeah.
Whatever I play, he'll
usually picks up on pretty quick.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. I've always I've played my buddy Kevin that I do the other podcast, the video game podcast with. He's big time into StarCraft and Guild Wars and those, you know, kind of MMORPG type games. I know that StarCraft isn't, but. I've always had this fantasy when I was a kid and when it kind of as I grew up that I was like, one day I'm going to have a kid. This idea of being able to play Madden football with my son.
Oh, yeah.
And I got to get a little taste. I was over at a friend's house and we played the Blitz game on his Xbox. And Jacob could actually do that because it's pretty simple. Like, it's not the deep mechanics of the actual Madden football game.
Those things, I can't do them anymore.
Right. But that's what I'm saying is that it's interesting for me to, you know, even though I like those games and I like gaming. And I think I can put myself in your kid's shoes of how cool he thinks it is that he not only is getting to play with his dad, but also his uncles as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and he's always, can I just stay up a little bit later? You know, and it's tempting. Yeah.
Yeah. And you guys are all the grown-ups, but he's in doing like the grown-up thing, you know.
And my older brother has an older son. He's 21 now, and he joins us sometimes. And, you know, but when he was growing up, it was him. Whoever's the up and comer, you know, is going to come in, and the older kids, yeah, you know, they're not that good at the game. You gotta love them. You gotta let them in.
What kind of games did you play when you were a kid?
Oh, you know, Risk, Axis and Allies. My older brothers used to play Dungeons and Dragons. You know,
oh, you were a D&D dude.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So did you have like a, like, now it's my understanding. I never, here's the thing. I've talked about it a lot on the other podcast that I do, that I feel like I was a closeted nerd, that I didn't know that I was a nerd until, you know, I met another nerd and kind of hooked up with him. Like, this stuff is really awesome. Like, I really honestly, like, that kind of makes it sound like the nerd subculture can't be cool in its own right and discovered.
You're a nerd, but you didn't know the secret handshake.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that it's not just that. I'm not saying that it isn't cool. I'm saying that there was something that resonated with me that now I read comic books to my kid as a bedtime story. Like, we're going through the new 52, the Batman. Have you read any of that? Are you into comic books too?
I'm not a comic person.
Oh, okay. Well, we went back there. DC, for the anybody who doesn't know, although the people who don't know probably don't give a shit. That's hilarious. But anyway, they've decided to kind of reset all of their characters, and they're calling it the new 52. And so they're starting over with issue one. And
I
thought, and I thought that they were going to like redo the origin story. But no, what they did was they just hit stop. They're going to, we're going to kind of acknowledge the fact that we have this past, and we're going to explain a little exposition of how things came to be. But we're just going to pick up, boom, right now, new storylines. And it is an interesting, it was an interesting marketing gimmick that I fell for and then was disappointed by, because I wanted to be able to be like a kid in the 50s who picked up, you know, Green Lantern number one. It was like, who the fuck is this guy? What's going to happen to him? And then I would get to relive a kind of modernized version of the same storylines. But in actuality, they're just like saying, we're going to start over from here now and keep everything that has happened before. Like, the Batman already has Nightwing and the new Robin. What's the other
one? It's a lot like the Baby Muppets, you know? Or didn't they do one for the Scooby-Doo, the Mystery Machine Gang, where they were like the children of or whatever?
I don't know, but that makes me laugh, like, because there's no connection at all. It's just, like the Baby Muppets.
They should be like, you know, the son of Batman, the son of Green Lantern, who might be, you know, Maroon Lantern or something.
I want to make that my new bit when people are telling me something that I have no idea what it is. I just want to be like, oh, okay, yeah, like the Grand Canyon. What? Right? No, I'm talking about quiche. What? Like, that's hilarious.
No, because, you know, they ran out of Muppet stories. They made the Baby Muppets.
That's not what happened. Why
Try to follow me here.
Why do you keep grabbing that
in? It's a lot like quiche.
They ran out of Muppet stories, so they made the Muppet babies. Are you fucking kidding? Oh, that's making me laugh so hard on multiple levels. Number one, the concept of the writers at the Muppet Show going, fuck, guys, we're out of ideas. You mean we can't find another bullshit celebrity to come in and pretend to interact with these socks? No, dude, all the celebrities are gone.
Did you just call them Muppet Socks?
Oh. I'm saying that if you did the Muppet Show and you were a writer, that you would be a little bit jaded about the idea of a Muppet, is what I'm saying. Now, the actual, you know, puppeteers or Muppeteers or whatever they call themselves, they're the ones that are a little crazy about it and they like it. But I'm saying that if you're a writer, you're going, we've ran out of celebrities to talk to socks. We can't, there's no more bits we can do. We can't. Marlon Brando's dead. We can't do any more of the Foz Father.
All sorts of famous people, and those are my favorite ones.
Oh, damn it. That's funny.
I watched the one the other day where they had C-3PO and R2-D2 on the Muppets.
Oh, really?
Sesame Street, yeah.
Oh, gosh, dang it. Did you ever watch that the Elmo documentary with the guy who made that character?
I've seen him, though. He's a riot.
Yeah, you should watch that. It's on Netflix, like the streaming or whatever. It's really, really interesting, and it's a really nice what I would call a good American story of somebody who started off young and just found something they were uber passionate in and just engulfed themselves in it. And then that's, you know, he kind of becomes, you know, famous and well known and makes, you know, good money doing what he loves. And so, yeah, it's really like one of the most interesting parts that I thought about it was that when they first introduced the character of Elmo, they gave it to another puppeteer and he was trying to do something with it, but couldn't get anything. And Elmo's like original voice was like, rah, 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 you know, kind of gruff or whatever. And then the guy was just frustrated after a taping and then gave it to the guy who's now Elmo and said, maybe you could do something with this. And then he put it on and looked in the mirror and came up with a high pitched voice. And then boom, like this huge phenomenon was born, like, and those Tickle Me Elmo dolls and all that crazy crap. It was insane. It's a good documentary, is what I'm saying.
I'll bet that guy could pick up any girl in any bar at any time. With that voice.
I think.
What did you think?
Elmo want to do just a tip?
Hey, tickle me, Elmo.
I tickle you from the inside.
I
Yes. Yes, I'm a natural red.
The drapes match the walls and the carpet. Ha ha.
I'm a muffin. Self in the third person. Elmo likes that. Keep doing that to Elmo.
Elmo, go faster.
You know, it's funny when you said that. I was like, I go, you know, I don't know that he could pick up any chick with that voice, but I definitely think he could pick up like any divorcee mom or like any maybe even actually a married mom. If you think about it, if she's into it. I remember I did. You ever heard of that show Lazy Town?
Yes.
So I was a talent wrangler for Sportacus, and he's the creator of this show. And he's a really cool guy, really unbelievably cool guy. And so we did this touring show, and these moms, I mean, you don't have to, you know, you don't have to extend your disbelief very far where what there's a muscular aerobics champion with an Icelandic accent with Viking blood in him that women find attractive. Oh, I guess I could see it. Maybe. I don't know. And these chicks, man. Oh, my gosh. They would literally be holding their children and their husbands would be there and their hands would be on his firm aerobic buttocks while the photo was being taken. And he always had a thing that he would do where he'd kind of like open his eyes just a skosh where you couldn't tell in the picture, but that's how I always knew that they were goosing him. And it just made me so happy that, and there were, you know, single moms. Oh my God. They would lay it on thick. They would, and he was married and everything, but he was nice about it. But I just like, I just love the idea of like, yeah, I'd tap that Sportacus ass. How do we get onto that subject? What just happened? I think we.
Oh man, I couldn't. We got to comics.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Video games with your son. I think we started with video games with your son.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. You know how I mentioned on the show, sometimes I will get emails from parenting.com, and you have a son, so I have two sons. So I thought this would be interesting.
I have two sons as well.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Two sons. So you have, this is something that just came through. The health benefits of circumcision outweigh the risks. Now, before we read into this, I will say that neither of my sons is circumcised because I was not circumcised. I don't have any kind of like political or, you know, PETA type mentality about like the brutality of children. I didn't care either way. My wife said that she thought it would be weird if his junk didn't match my junk. I thought that was irrelevant, but... I was like,
for later in life when you guys go to bars together, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I guess my every wife or mom thinks, that at some point in your life there is some kind of, you know, dick, you know, show and tell or something with fathers and sons, which is not true. Although I do agree with Adam Carolla's theory of that, you know, when sometimes in around the age of 4 to 7, no older than 8, you need to give your kid a quick shot of your junk and then never let him see it again because he always thinks that you just have this huge hog. Even when he grows up, because I did have that with my father where I was like,
yours must keep growing too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it never stops. It just keeps going.
Right.
And my son, I already have to start hiding mine, I think, because my son has already said, he goes, I have a little penis or whatever. He goes, but not dad. He's got a huge one.
And why don't you put a stop to that? You do the thing with your son. I do this with my son when he goes to get him to go to the bathroom. Uh-huh. We will go together. We'll race, we call it.
Oh.
And that gets him to go. And then we play. Of course, he doesn't get the reference. Don't cross the streams.
Oh, to be at the urinal trough at that stadium when that is happening.
Don't cross the streams.
Or some movie theater. You guys are there in the movie and in the stall sharing a toilet. Just don't cross the streams from some dad with his kid in the bathroom.
You know, my son, my 4-year-old, has actually had cosmetic surgery on his junk.
What? Are you serious?
He was born, my youngest son has Down syndrome, and there's a lot of things that are more common with that. He had an undescended testicle. No big deal, right?
Okay.
The whole Down syndrome thing's been really easy. You can hear that in the other podcast. Okay. It's really not a problem. But when he got to be a certain age and it hadn't descended yet or dropped, we were already calling him monoball, and he went in and he had to get surgery to get this thing brought down. And while we were in the appointment, the doctor, and I'm really not kidding you, he put his arm around me and took me off towards the window, and he goes, you know, I can do a lot to clean up your son's penis.
Really?
I am not kidding. We went back over to my son, and we played with his junk, and he goes, you know, those doctors that do the circumcision, and he's circumcised, all of us are, and he goes, you know, they're hacks. You know, that's this is my job. I do penises. I swear to God, he used the words, I do penises.
I mean, look at this butcher. Look at what this is. Wow.
You know, like, clean up the, I don't know what the terminology for the little soldier hat is, whatever, but, you know, he had it all planned out, and sure enough, my son's penis is very beautiful. He could be a model.
He could be a penis model.
Someday.
That's great. His brother can always be like, why did he get the pretty penis? Never speak of the surgery for him. Never speak of it again, so he could just live with that.
The first person with Down syndrome to ever be a porn star.
Yeah, exactly.
I have high hopes for him.
Well, I kind of wanted to ask you about that because I think it's interesting. Here's the thing. I know I'm going to sound like a total asshole, and no matter which way I approach this,
do it.
But you seem like a guy who has an amazingly cool attitude about it, and I guess that's a given. You know what I mean? Like, what are you going to do? You're going to pout or whatever. But there is this like societal. This is the vibe I'm getting from you. There is a societal thing that makes you think that is a negative thing. But you have taught me that it's like, no, you already said, you're like, it's not it's easy. It's not a big deal at all. Like, it's totally fine. Am I crazy in that or?
Oh, no, you're not. But, you know, we've been lucky. You know, when you have a child with Down syndrome, they come with some. I don't know. Everybody gets dealt a different hand of cards, and I've been happy with the set we've been dealt. You know, some of them are born with heart defects, or, you know, you have some other problems that come along with it, and some of them have more or less delay than others. You know, you go to the park and like your kid's playing next to another kid, and you're like, oh, my kid can jump higher, or he's faster, or whatever. You know, and you think that way, but like. You know, in my circle, when I take him to stuff or whatever, you know, you don't think that at all. Somebody else's kid maybe is delayed a little bit more. You think, well, you know, he got dealt a different hand, you know?
Yeah. I'm the exact same way, even without that. Like, because I had a friend who had a kid and he wasn't talking or whatever. And I don't know that maybe he was worried about it. I never even once thought about it. I'm like, dude, every kid is different. So, yeah, I completely understand that. Like, I can relate.
I'm not sure people who meet me when I'm out with my whole family really even know. My son's in a regular school.
Yeah.
Like, it's 2 days in a regular school and 2 days in the, you know, like the county program. And, you know, he plays soccer on the regular soccer team. You know, they might think he doesn't talk as much as they do, you know.
But they don't care.
It's really been the hardest part about Down syndrome is finding out.
Yeah.
You know,
that's what my next question was, is that, like, how did it hit you, if you don't mind sharing? I mean, I'm assuming you don't mind sharing because you do a podcast about it. And I really do think it's interesting, and I think it helps. Like, that's one of the unintentional things I found about this show, is that just by kind of, you know, vomiting at the mouth about your own bullshit, you kind of make people feel better about what they're going through.
Sharing thing. If you're out there and you're honest and you tell people your issues or whatever, then everybody feels better. It's, exactly. You know, saves you on your therapy.
Yeah, exactly.
No, we found out in the womb as a prenatal, a pre-birth diagnosis, and it was harsh. They were, I wouldn't say they were pushing us, but they were like, "Hey, you gotta make a decision." By then, we're like, "Decision on what?" You know, and the deal is abortion. Well, you know, they've cranked up their research so they can detect it better in the womb, and, you know, like, I don't know, there's data out there, and I'm probably full of it, but I think like something like 90% get terminated.
Wow.
Which is awful, and I'm totally against that or whatever. And if you have any listeners or that have children with special needs, if you want to go listen to Down Syndrome Radio, the first thing we did, me and my buddy Jason Kosky, do that together, was talk about our stories and how, you know, you start off, you feel bad, and you cry, and you go to your computer, and you do a ton of research, and then you say, okay, that's not so bad or whatever. Then you meet your kid, and as a baby, you know, how different is a baby? It's just no different at all.
Yeah.
Then they have a personality, and then you're like, yeah, and then realize that was not really that big a deal. There's more therapy and whatnot, but no, he does great. It's awesome.
You know, there's a level that I know this is going to make me sound like an asshole, but there is a level that I could kind of understand where people who don't go that 90%, you know, path, I could get it, that it's because you don't know and you like, here's the thing. Like, I feel like obviously you guys made the decision because you have a heart and you have an upbringing that made you into a person who is grounded enough and that can handle it. You know what I mean? I would feel uncomfortable making someone live a life that was anything less than what you guys are providing for your son. Does that make it sense? Am I being a rude dickhead?
I try really not, really hard not to judge, Justin. You don't know where other people are in their lives.
Yeah, exactly. No. That's what I'm saying too. Yeah, okay.
Then you say to yourself, okay, what if, you know, I abort this baby and my plan is to have another baby, you know, as soon as possible. And that child doesn't have Down syndrome. And then, you know, that's another child that gets to come into the world that doesn't have this problem versus this child that does. And, you know, everybody has their own logic and their own, I don't judge. I just can't do it. But once, you know, I saw on the ultrasound, I was like, that's my son. You know, yeah. I already knew it was a boy. They already told us, you know, already saw his penis again, had the cosmetic surgery yet, but you can see it on the screen. And then, you know, we said, no, we're not doing that.
That's great. That's cool. And how old is he now?
He is 4. I got a soundbite. You ready for a soundbite?
Yes. Oh, my God. I'm so excited.
I prepared this in advance. I told you we take math very seriously in this household.
Uh-huh.
We're a bunch of nerds and we're proud of it. Dude, this is the millennia of the nerd.
Yes.
You ready? He's not talking about baked goods here. You ready?
What?
Did it come through the microphone?
Yeah, yeah. What is pi? 3.14. Damn it, you must be proud, dude. Math,
and of all the things for older brother to teach younger brother, nothing useful, of course, was pi.
Wait, he learned that from his older brother?
Oh, yeah. They're like inseparable.
Wow, that's awesome. That is incredible. Oh, my God. You're bringing a tear to my eye, bro. That is beautiful.
My son can tell you the first, like, 40 digits of pi. He has a shirt that's made out of all the digits. You know, we had pi on Pi Day, March 21st. No, March 14th.
Yeah. Stop drinking, Mark.
March 21st is National Down Syndrome Day because it's trisomy 21. It's a 3 of the 21st chromosome. So we have 2 days in March in addition to St. Patrick's Day because I'm Irish. But, you know, so March is a big month for us. Pi Day.
So you guys, I love this idea. So on March 14th every year, you guys have pie for every meal or you just have a big pie, like, spread or what?
Pie for breakfast. Fist, then we have quiche. No, I'm just kidding. they do it in the schools now. You'll find when kids go to school, they make, and it's all about teaching math and whatnot. But yeah.
That's great.
I even took the song. My son came home and he said, there's a song about pie. It's to the tune of American Pie. Instead of bye bye American Pie, it's pie pie mathematical pie.
Mm-hmm.
I learned it on the guitar, which I can only limp along on the guitar. And I played it on the podcast because it's nerdy. I dedicated it to my son Alex. You know that I played the pie song, Pie Pie American Pie.
So this, well, I'm sorry that it kind of did break up a little bit there. So this is a song that you created, or this is a song that now is like kids' songs.
This is Don McLean's. You know, a long, long time ago.
Yeah. And so somebody else did that, but then they made it more about pie, the mathematical form.
And he wanted me to be able to play.
That's cool. Well, since we're kind of already there and it's time to wrap up, let's do some moments of the week and we'll just keep rolling with this. So here it comes. Moment of the week.
You made them. You love them. And sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them. But occasionally they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment.
Moment of the week, brought to you by Stitcher, the free app that handles all your podcasting needs without having to sync to your computer. Stream all your favorite podcasts right to your Droid, BlackBerry, or iPhone. Just go to thedadpodcast.com and click on the Stitcher logo on the left-hand side. It's free, people, and they give us money if you do it.
So I'll do mine that I had was it's kind of like a series of moments that it's fun that as Jack, my youngest one, is getting older and more like a quote unquote person, he gets to interact with his brother more in a personable manner rather than a caveman squawking and screaming and swinging and hitting kind of thing. And it's been really cute. Jacob is such an amazing kid. Like And I know that he's my kid and everything, and that I am biased. I'm aware of that, but I really am proud of the dude. He's a really loving, got just the best heart ever. And he gets up in the morning sometimes before his little brother, and when his little brother wakes up, he goes in. We just switch Jack into like a toddler bed, and so he'll go in and kind of like bounce around on his little toddler bed with him and play with him, and that's a little, you know, giggly, you know, fun time that they have together. We stayed up late to watch a movie recently, and we were trying to get Jack to go to sleep, and Jacob for his birthday got a little flashlight that was a Batman signal, and he was putting it up on the ceiling, and Jack was just losing his mind, and it was funny to watch him because he can't really talk other than say like up and mom and dad, you know, that kind of stuff. But he would point at the bat signal, go like he does in the nonsense language, like telling you the story of like, you seeing this cool thing on the ceiling? That is pretty awesome. So it's kind of like,
remember enough of baby language to translate?
Yeah, exactly. I do. I like that, you know, this that they get to interact and just these little cute moments that I'm starting to see with both of them. So I'm going to kind of bunch both of them up into that kind of little series of moments, if you would. So now it's your turn, Mark.
I got the same, and I got a big brother, little brother. My son Alex is 7 years older than my son Luke, and he is absolutely fantastic. He's not doing it because we ask him to or whatever. He just loves the shit out of him. The moment is Luke plays soccer. He's on a regular soccer team, but his birthday is September 4th. He just turned 4, and all these kids are somewhere between 4 and 5. So not only does he have Down syndrome, he's by far the youngest kid on the team. He's a good head shorter than everybody else. But we've been like that. Inclusion, they call it, you know? Uh-huh. So just send him out there. To kind of soften the blow a little bit, I volunteered to be the assistant coach. So I'm supposed to be helping. And what was beautiful is I brought my son Alex with me, really just to sit there and read on the sideline. He had his book because he couldn't be home on his own, or I would rather he didn't. But he didn't. He didn't sit there and read his book. He jumped in, and he was like, you know, Luke's personal trainer. Not that he truly needed one. All the kids were kind of wandering away when they're supposed to be listening. I mean, when you have 4-year-old soccer, that's what happens.
Yeah.
But it was like, you know, Luke had his own personal helper. Just say, no, over here, or oh no, you're in right now, or you're out right now. And then we had the little, soccer. So it's Christian based. Mm-hmm. When we had a little circle, you know, I'll get right in the circle, you know, even though he's 11, you know, boys, you think it'd be like, oh, you know, I don't want to be part of that or whatever. Yeah. You get right in the circle, held hands with everybody. And we prayed and whatnot. And, you know, just the love of older brother for younger brother is just, it makes me feel better about the future so much.
It's fantastic. Yeah, I really do. I spend a lot of time thinking about that. I hope they can hang on to that when they're in their 30s. You know, like have the relationship like you have with your brothers, it sounds like. That would be
But, you know, awesome. when you live in the same house, you hate each other. So then what will happen is you'll think they hate each other, and then, you know, they'll both be somewhere, and somebody will make fun of the younger one, and your older one will just beat the mother legit out of them. And you'll see the love then.
You know, it's funny. I'm sorry if I'm interrupting you again, but you know, I did kind of have that thing where when Jacob went to the preschool for the first time, the kids were kind of being weird and picking on him because he was the new one in the herd or whatever a little bit. But Jacob thought they were picking on Jack, and he didn't like it. Like he was, I don't like those kids. They're mean.
I'm the only one to compare about him. He's mine.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, how fucking adorable!
I have one for my daughter as well. Yeah. That's right.
Of course.
In prep for this Indian princess thing, you know, there's these badges that come with it. She already has the beaver badge. These badges are hysterical. And she needs to get the cougar badge. You wouldn't be able to get that badge till you're at least 40. But,
yeah,
you know.
Like what? Who sits down at these meetings? These are people that need to get out from underneath the rock and turn on some VH1 and some TLC and see what's happened to those two networks and realize that they're not doing music videos or learning programming anymore, and that there are shows about beavers and cougars that are different.
Yeah, yeah, they're not about what you think they're about.
Yeah.
Please know that. And hopefully
National Geographic hasn't left the swamps to go back to Africa in ages.
Okay, so she when she kind of realized that it was only a couple weeks out, this camp out, she said she wanted to work on the next badge, which is the cougar badge. Don't laugh. And okay. About 10 or 15 things that she needed to do. And I was like, oh, God, because I was, you know, I'm busy. And I thought we'd have to go down to the computer, look them up or whatever. And I was like, well, you know, maybe tomorrow if I have some time, we can sit at the computer and come up with a plan for that. Does anyone want to say no?
Yeah.
And she goes, no, I got it right here. And she went to her dressers, where, sure enough, and brought out a folder. And she had all of the stuff right there. And she said, I'll make a list. And she like I said, you know, my wife is amazing. She is like two women fit into one. I don't know how she does it. And our daughter is just mini her. She has like more energy packed into a smaller body than you could even imagine. So she pressed me. She was all ready to go. And you know, this is why camping out with her is so easy. She packs her own clothes. She does everything. She's amazing.
That's great.
She had her all. She's got to feed the cat for a month. She's got to visit some sort of Indian place. She's got to do a good deed. I don't know, 15 things or something like that.
God damn it, you lucky son of a bitch, Mark Owens. I'm in love with you.
Say that every day, man.
That's great, dude. You're a good dude. Well, that's our moment of the week. That's our show. You can send us an email to show@thedadpodcast.com or give us a call, 408. Hold on, I've totally forgot the number. I think it's 408-228-4911 is what I want to say. If not, go to the website.
Go into the public bathroom. It's written on the wall right there.
Yeah, that's right above the glory hole. That's where you're going to want to find that number to call us here at the podcast. I know some people have left some voicemails, and I will get caught up on that because I've been doing so many guests with Skype. It's hard for me to play the voicemails at the same time. I need to wrap my mind around that, so I apologize to all of you. Don't forget, you could follow us on Twitter at Dad Podcast, or you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/dadpodcast. And the big thing I keep forgetting is that my new comedy album, I Love My Kids, I Swear, is now out and available. If you go to justinworsham.com or justincomedy.com, if you don't know how to spell my name, and just click on the store link, it's available for a digital download right now until I get the hard copies. Those will all be available after October 1st, and you'll get it for some people were asking. I think it was Oscar, who's a friend of mine and a listener of the show, and he said, well, what about iTunes? And it's not going to be available on iTunes until October 1st, but just a heads up, it's cheaper through my website if you get it through there than if you get it on iTunes for the listeners of the show. And if you're a paid subscriber to the show, I will get you a promo code because you get access to all that stuff for free. Thank you to the people who made donations. I've seen the emails come through, but I need to be able to jot them down. And basically what I'm saying is I'm shitty at producing this show. What were you
now
saying?
Now that the car thing figured out, you know, you had a whole sympathy thing going. Now what are you going to do?
I know, right? Now everybody's like, I want my fucking donation back, asshole. $9,000. Are you kidding me for a fucking S-Series Corolla? That's bullshit. Oh, Mark, I can't tell you, man. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Can I plug my pet?
Of course. Yeah, I was going to, but please do.
I want to make sure you didn't come up. I want to get, you know, maybe 10 new listeners and just double my numbers. It's not that bad, but engineering fatherhood with my older brother, real dads, real brothers, real problems. It's engineeringfatherhood.wordpress.com, engineering fatherhood on iTunes, and Down Syndrome Radio. It's a little more serious than this. We have guests. You know, we go through the process of learning how to do this, and we're just clueless dads like you, but you can listen to us talk to the experts. Everybody we've asked in our little Down Syndrome community has said yes to being on the podcast. We have some fantastic guests. It's downrightawesome.com. And then it's Down Syndrome Radio on iTunes as well. So there you go.
Perfect. Please throw this guy a subscribe on iTunes, and we will definitely have you back on the show. This was an absolute joy. I really did enjoy talking to you. We will chat more. So on behalf of my new friend, Mark Owens, this is Justin Worsham saying stay frosty.